We're going to be in the closing out the Gospel of John this morning in the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 15. And also, we're going to be referring a little bit to 1 Peter. Does anybody have any of these? Anybody keep any of these in their Bible? This is what's technically known as a little piece of paper. And this is yellow. This is actually a folded up sticky note, but yours doesn't have to be a folded up sticky note. But this can be one of the things that can help you most by marking little places in your Bible where we're going to be talking. So we're going to be in John 21, but if you have one of these, a little piece of paper that you could put in 1 Peter, you might find that helpful later as we refer to that. Almighty God, as we come before you this morning, as we have been worshiping you, as we have lifted up those who are among us or who are connected to us through friends, we know that you love us and you love us still. As we've been ministered to this morning through singing, through playing, we can sense and know and be assured of your love as we see that flow through those who are ministering to us through the music. And Lord, we thank you for that. And now as we open your word, Father, I ask that you would love us through your word. You would instruct us and guide us, inform us and counsel us through your very word. And that we would be moved to go and show our love for you by what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are in John 21, picking up with verse 15, and I would suspect that many of your Bibles right above verse 15 says something like, Jesus reinstates Peter. There's truth in that. I kind of wish they didn't highlight that, because there's that and much, much more to this passage, but that is an important aspect of it. We have, last week we talked about the miraculous catch of fish the night before. They'd been fishing all night long. They had caught nothing. And then this guy on the shore, who they don't recognize at the moment, encourages them to throw their net out, and they pull in 153 large fish, and they realize that it's Jesus. And Peter jumps out of the boat and swims or runs through the water, whatever it took to get him over to where Jesus is. And the others follow. The others come and they bring the boat in. And Jesus has breakfast prepared for them. And they sit and they come and dine. You can hear Jesus call throughout the Gospels. He starts first, come and follow. And he ends it with, come and dine. Come and join me. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Then Peter saw him. He asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So this is following the third time that Jesus, or a part of the third time when Jesus had appeared to his followers. Again, they'd had the night fishing and they came and shared this meal together. They worked so hard to catch these fish after a long night of not catching anything to show up on the beach to find out Jesus already had fish on the grill. And he's about to serve them breakfast. Then after breakfast, he has this exchange in front of the other six with Peter. And he asks him these three times. And in this version, it says the first two times, "Do you truly love me?" And the third time, it just asks, "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "You know that I love you." And a little bit is lost in translation here. There are multiple words. I'm sure you've probably heard this at some point. Multiple words in the Greek language that we get love. What we have is love. And they have multiple words for these. And two of these words are agape and phileo. And these are the ones that are used here in the original language. There's two other words, one that we would refer to like a kind of a love for family, and one that would be a romantic love. But these two words, agape and phileo, agape is that love that comes from God that flows through us to others. It is love that is given from Christ, and it can only come from Christ. And we are called to show that love for Christ and for others. Phileo is a very close love that one would have for a brother. But it is an earthly kind of love that one would have. It's not that love that flows from God. It is a good and wonderful thing, but it's not the same thing. And you've heard the word phileo. The word for city is Adelphi, right? So phileo Adelphi, Philadelphia, we hear it referred to as the city of brotherly love. That's where that phrase comes from, or that's where that name comes from. But what Jesus does here is he asks Peter, "Do you agape me? Do you love me with a love that comes from heaven, with a love that God has instilled in you?" And Peter responds, "Lord, I phileo you. I love you like a brother." Jesus asks him again, "Do you agape me? Do you love me with that love that comes from God and fills your heart and allows you to love others with that love?" And Peter says, "I phileo you. Lord, I love you like a brother." And the third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother?" And it tells us that Peter was hurt with the repeated questioning. And he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you like a brother." And you may have heard, it's often commented on, that this reflects the three times that Peter denied Christ. As Jesus was being led to his crucifixion, and Peter says, "I'll never leave you," and he chases down, and he follows him, and he goes in, but when confronted, he denies even knowing Jesus. He is so scared that one, a young teenage servant girl, even brings fear up in him that he won't admit that he knows Jesus. And I'm sure Peter was reminded of this in this moment. But I also think that this is reflective of the conversation much earlier when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" See, because in that conversation, When Jesus asked, who do they say that I am? And the disciples answered him, well, some say that you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And then Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter, called Simon, then says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that didn't come from you. That came from God. And he starts that with, Simon, son of John. That did not come from you. That knowledge came from God. And blessed are you. And on this rock, this knowledge of Christ as the Son of God, on this rock I will build my church. And you will now be called Peter. And Peter is a word for a type of rock or a stone. And those stones are collected together and those stones are compounded together to build a larger rock. But from that time forward, Jesus referred to him as Peter. And then in this conversation, he comes back with Simon, son of John. And I think it's to recall, what is it that you know about me? What do you know about me? Can you remember that? You have fallen, you have tripped, but can you remember what you know about me? And while Peter does not give him the answer that I can agape you, I love you with all that love, there's integrity in Peter's response. Peter answers honestly with the love that he has, which is dear, and it's sincere, and it's important. It is not yet the calling, the type of love that he's being called to, but he answers honestly each time. He's doing his best. He's not where he thinks he should be, but he's really trying. And Jesus says each time to tend to or feed or take care of my sheep. And this is, and like I mentioned with the children, this is an incredibly important passage because Peter was about to become the first leader of the first church. Jesus was handing the reins over to Peter. And he needed to have Peter firmly where Peter needed to be. And so if it took shaking him down a little in front of the others, because he was going to have to lead those others, and they had seen Peter's strengths and they had seen his shortcomings, and he was going to lead them, and they had something that they were eventually being called to as well. And so Jesus in front of them, and I don't think this was done in a mean spirit, but it was done as something that had to cut. John MacArthur says when he said first, Simon, that he was wielding the scalpel, that this was a surgery that had to take place to get Peter where he needed to be. And Jesus goes on to tell him about the death that he will face at some point. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone will dress you. Someone will take you where you don't want to go, and you will stretch out your hands and die. Someone will dress you in your grave clothes. Someone will lead you to a cross. Because Peter was also, church history tells us, was also crucified, and church tradition says that in an act of respect for his Savior, that Peter insisted on being crucified upside down, that he did not deserve to die in the same manner that Jesus died. So Jesus indicates the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter, follow me. You're going to die. You're going to be crucified. Follow me. Now what do those words mean? Where was Jesus? And where was Jesus going? Peter saw Jesus get crucified. Now he's sitting on the beach, just had breakfast with Jesus in a glorified body, and Jesus was soon to ascend to heaven. Follow me. You're going to get crucified, but follow me. Look at where I'm going. I lived a life knowing I was going to die. In my ministry, I knew when I was healing and when I was preaching that I was going to die. And I'm giving you that same gift. I'm telling you how you're going to die. So when they dragged Peter in front of the council at Jerusalem, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were, you know, yelling at Peter and stop preaching about that Jesus and all that, he's like, what are you going to do to me? I am going to be crucified. What are you going to do? There was a confidence he was instilling in Peter. Yeah, it's going to be a rough end, but you're going to follow me to a cross, to a glorified body, and into the kingdom. Follow me. And he was saying this to Peter because Peter had to lead these other guys. They had to come up to where Peter was and beyond. You know, James and John, we know at least about them that they wrote and they preached. They were part of some of the very early important decisions that were made in the church. But Jesus needed Peter in place to get them into the places that they were going to be. And Peter's still distracted. And he looks back at John. He says, okay, that's going to happen to me. Well, what about him? You know, that's human nature at its best, right? What about that guy? Why me? What about him? And Jesus, don't worry about him. Follow me. You must follow me. See, the truth is, John's not going to get where he needs to go if you don't follow me. The church isn't going to get where it needs to go if you don't follow me. Peter, you must follow me. And just as a brief side note, John, who was the youngest and outlived the rest, but you wonder, as he stood in exile on the island of Patmos and God revealed all these other things to him, and he had seen or known about what had happened to Peter, you wonder what went through his mind about that conversation. Both of them ending their earthly lives in a very difficult manner, but both glorifying God and both having been now for centuries and centuries back in Jesus' presence, for a short time out of it and for an eternity in it. Much can be said about this passage, but I think the real key to this passage for us this morning is the response Jesus has to Peter each of the three times he asks him, and Peter responds, yes, I love you. Then Jesus says, to feed my sheep. If you love me, do this. If you don't have that agape love for me, that's not there. But it's going to be there. And you're going to get there by feeding my sheep, by doing what I tell you to do, by going and practicing the love. The love inside you will grow. By being obedient to me. As John would later write, right? In 1 John, this is how we know love, that God first loved us. And this is how we show love. By what? Loving one another. That love would only come to Peter if Peter was obedient to doing what Jesus said to do. Feed my sheep. And something very particular here is, Peter is a pastor, and as I was studying this week, and as I heard what ordinarily I would have thought would have been a variety of different messages about different things from different people, were all about this. The importance about us sharing the Word of God here when we come together on Sunday mornings as a part of feeding the sheep. That is a vital part of what we do. We are to be the church. And next week, we'll talk about the Great Commission, when the church was sent out. And when the church goes out, that's what the church is supposed to do, to go reach out and bring people to Jesus and disciple them. And when we gather together here on Sunday mornings, we certainly welcome those who have not yet accepted Christ, and we reach them, and that's an important thing that we do here. But we are always going to feed upon the Word of God. That is the vital thing that we do during this hour, is to feed upon the Word of God. That is what enables us to be the church in the world. I've shared with a few of you a story I heard Thursday morning. Jeff Collins, Pastor Jeff from Christ Memorial Baptist, and Randy Chambers from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I went to Philadelphia to a pastor's breakfast. And we saw Tony Evans speak, and I don't know, I'm sure some of you have listened to Tony Evans preach. If not, look up Tony Evans and listen to him preach. Tony Evans is a great preacher. And he was preaching to 500 pastors about the importance of being church. And he's the master of illustrations, and he used many illustrations, but he closed his time telling the story of a young couple, newly married, that were in a car accident, and the car rolled down an embankment, and the young man looked over as he came, regained consciousness, and his young bride was there in the car next to him, bleeding to death. Blood was pouring out of her, and he pulled her out of the car, and he didn't know what to do, but at the top of the embankment, there was a sign for a doctor's office. And so he rushed up to this house that had a sign out that had this doctor's name on it, and he banged on the door, and this old man came to the door, and he said, "You've got to save my wife." And the old man says, "I'm sorry, I don't practice medicine anymore." And the crux of that story was, you either need to practice medicine, or you need to take the sign down. And then he pointed out to the pastors, and he said, "Go back to your churches and choose today to either take your signs down or be the church." Either take your signs down or be the church. And being the church means when people come into the church for a worship service or a Bible study, they will hear the Word of God. They will be fed, this church or any other, they will be fed the Word of God. And then when we go out, we will go out and practice the Great Commission. We are all called to bring in and feed the sheep. We are all called. We have different levels of responsibility in that. Some flocks are bigger than others, but we are all called to go and do and to feed and to care to those that God has put under our care. If we're new to the faith, we become part of a flock, but we're supposed to grow in that, right? And then come to the point where we are then tending to others. Feed the sheep. I also heard this week a man say, Mark Dever, who's a great teacher, say, if you say you believe in Jesus and you're not evangelizing and discipling others, then I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean that you follow Jesus. If you're not taking Jesus to others, I don't know what you mean if you say you're a follower. Because Jesus came and died for us. And he says to us to follow him. And if we follow him, we will be doing the things that he's called us to do. If you have your little piece of paper in, and you can go over to 1 Peter. I don't know, some 60 to 100 pages ahead, depending on the size of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. Going ahead a few pages in the Bible, in about 30 years in Peter's life. A lot can happen in 30 years. Jesus ministered for 3, and at this point, Peter had been ministering for approximately 10 times that amount. And I don't think a day would have ever passed where he didn't remember Jesus' specific words to him, "Feed my sheep." And these words tell me that I think Peter learned it, because Peter here in chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, is speaking to the elders of the church. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, when Christ appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." I think Peter got the message. And spent the rest of his life feeding the sheep. And wherever you are in your relationship with Christ, know this: he's calling you to be closer to him and to reach out to others. Some are called to be pastors and elders and to have larger flocks, but we're all called to reach out for Jesus, all called to spread the name of Jesus, all called to bring others into a closer relationship with Jesus. Those words were specifically uttered to Peter. But James and John and the others heard. And it wasn't their time yet, but they heard. And when their time came, they knew. They heard those words directly from Jesus to Peter, but also meant for the rest of his audience. As when Jesus asked the group, "Who do the people say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And he did not direct that to Peter, that "you," and go back into the Greek, that "you" is plural. He asked that to his followers: "Who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter that had the proper response, and the others came along. And here it is Peter who got this specific attention, but it was the others who were to come along. And church, it is us who also hear these words, and it is us who are to also come along. Here Jesus asked the question: "Church, Three Stones Church, do you love me?" I think we would all say, "Yes, Lord, we love you." If that is your answer, "Lord, yes, I love you," then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Amen.